The GB Files, the ultimate Packers podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome to another edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you for being here. Week one in the National Football League is in the books. We now get a chance to look back at week one and also start to preview week two. We will do so by checking in on the team, figuring out the very latest injuries, expectations, the highs and lows of week one. Then we'll go around the NFL. We'll do that with the NFL Network's Brian Billick. And then in overtime this week, speaking of the NFL Network, one of the newest faces there on the NFL Network, Mike Garafolo, will join me for overtime, a six-pack of questions. It all gets started right now on the NFL Files.
The big interview.
It is time to talk Packers. Let's do it from Fox 11 in Green Bay. You find him on Twitter at the Mose Knows. That's K-N-O-W-Z. Josh Moser joins us. Josh, obviously the best way to start a season is 1-0. Your initial thoughts about the start of the season for the Pack?
Well, I mean, anytime you can get a win on the road, I think it's a positive sign. I think Jacksonville is an up-and-coming team. Obviously, it wasn't the prettiest of games, but I think down the line, to start off with a defensive stand like that on 4th-and-1 when the team had gone 3-for-3 on 4th downs earlier in the game, it says a lot because this is a team that's dominated by the offense, and for a defense to go out and win it when a game's on the line like that, I think it could pay huge dividends as the season moves along.
Josh, what's the balance? When you look just at the numbers and you see Aaron Rodgers held to 199 yards passing, for you, where's the balance of the offense wasn't clicking and Jacksonville's defense is better?
I think Jacksonville's defense is much improved. They spent a lot of money there. Malik Jackson coming over from Denver, 2 top 5 picks going to that defensive front. Jalen Ramsey was very good in the game. But I think it was also a combination of the two, really. Aaron Rodgers wasn't himself. We saw the 3 punts there in the first half before the touchdown drive at the end of the second quarter. You could see that they weren't really clicking. Again, they didn't play a lot in the preseason either. So I think some communication issues, say more offense than actual the Jaguars' defense, but you could definitely see that both were in play.
The return of Jordy Nelson to the field is something Packer fans have been waiting for. I feel like maybe they're still trying to ease him in a little bit. What did you see and what are you hearing from the coaching staff in terms of the expectations of Jordy to sort of ramp up as we go through these first few weeks?
Well, the coaching staff is keeping things very close to the vest. That's just kind of the way things are dealt with here in Green Bay, especially with general manager Ted Thompson. In talking to Jordy, you know, he knew that this was going to be a process. We saw him go on the deep routes a couple of times, but it was more of those crossing routes that were a little bit closer. So I think he's getting more comfortable cutting on the knee. When we talked to him after the game, he said he wasn't even thinking about it. But I think as the season moves along, that playbook will open up further, and you'll see him back stretching the field, trying to do what they did in 2014 when they led the league in offense.
When you look at the Green Bay offense, if we look at it historically, we've seen the tight end be a really big part of it before. Is Green Bay just waiting for a tight end to emerge as a number one? Are they happy with kind of the balance between what they've seen with Cook and Rodgers? What's your take on that position offensively?
Personally, I thought they were going to utilize it a lot more, but I think it was just the defensive schemes that Jacksonville was in. Richard Rodgers was a huge piece, especially late in the year. He's slimmed down, been a good blocking back. And then Jared Cook, you know, he was brought over to be kind of like a JerMichael Finley, if you will. We know that his expertise isn't pass blocking, kind of like what we saw with Julius Thomas when he had all those touchdowns a couple of years ago with Peyton Manning in Denver. And I thought they would utilize Cook down the middle of the field on that seam route, but they had that covered. I think Jacksonville really studied that, thought that's what Green Bay was going to do, and I think they took it away. But Aaron Rodgers knows where everyone is on the field, and he's constantly said that he's going to throw to the open man, and it's all about trust. He trusts his guys on the field to know where they're going to be. No turnovers in the game, but I think they will try to utilize that tight end more, but I think teams will be keying on that fact as well. So it'll be curious to see what matchups prevail here as they move on, especially this week in Minnesota.
Blake Bortles throws for 320 yards. Concerns for you with the Packers secondary, or is that week one jitters?
I think it's a combination of both. Mike Pinnell suspended a big piece on the defensive front there. We saw some interesting things go on with 4 outside linebackers creating, you know, the first 4 on that defensive front at times. We saw a second-round pick from last year, Quentin Rollins, kind of get picked on early. And then Sam Shields, longtime corner, you know, he is dealing with a concussion, is in the protocol process, so there is no timetable on his return. It will be his second in 9 months, so the injury report comes out tomorrow. But if he's gone, I think that's a little bit of a hole, and I think teams might take advantage of that. But, you know, they're strong, you know, in the back. You know, they like their secondary, but I think just a couple of key pieces, if they can make a couple of tweaks, they'll be fine. But other teams are also very much aware of this.
I haven't seen a player in quite a while in the National Football League have his body shape have more attention paid to it than Eddie Lacy has over the last several months. Now that he's finally out on the field, I guess my question would be, is he living up to what you think the Packers had expected of him when they made reference to, when McCarthy made reference to the fact that he needed to be in football shape? Do you think he has reached that point where they're happy?
I'm not really sure. We've only seen one game. I definitely talked to him numerous times throughout training camp, and I could see his agility improve during training camp than late last year. But also, you know, that was after, you know, almost the full season. Your body just takes a toll as you go through the 16 weeks and the playoffs. But you could sense, you know, a difference in his muscle tone when you see him in the locker room. And, you know, he's nimble. I mean, he is definitely shifty, and, you know, we can see him with a couple of spins and a couple of jump cuts. It's there. It's just about following the blocks, making sure everything opens up. But I think he's well on his way. Definitely much improved from last year, where the Packers want him to be. I'm not quite sure, but I think he's certainly made a ton of progress, and they're very happy with where he's at.
Last one for you. As we come into week two, it's sort of a perfect storm of a game, a divisional game, a game against the Vikings, opening up the new stadium for them. It's a primetime game on Sunday night. Talk about the trifecta. All three are coming together. What are you going to be looking for out of the Packers this Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, you got to throw in that we don't know who's going to start a quarterback either for Minnesota.
Very true.
It's going to be, you know, I think who can be the most fundamental and who doesn't make any mistakes. I think the crowd is going to be raucous. I know, you know, the Metrodome, you know, was very, very loud. The teams have always talked about how loud Minnesota is. You have a new building, as you mentioned. I think it's just going to be keeping the nerves calm. And how productive can this offense be? We saw two defensive touchdowns last week from the Vikings against the Titans. I mean, their defense won them the game. And then obviously we saw this past week with Green Bay. They gave up a ton of points. So can they hold this offense to enough to give Aaron Rodgers a chance to put up the numbers they need to? I think you said it best. I mean, this is so many pieces coming together, but it's just about going back to the fundamentals, keeping calm, making sure that it's assignment football. I feel like I sound like a coach, but I mean, that's truly what it is. And I think who's ever high or gets a little bit emotional, that's where you're going to see your mistakes, and it's going to end up on the scoreboard.
Josh Moser covers the Packers, Fox 11 in Green Bay. You find him on Twitter at the Mose Knows. Josh, really appreciate the time here on the podcast this week, and we'll be looking forward to a big Sunday night game this week with the Vikings and Packs. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Josh with us. Up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the NFL, and we do that each week with the coach, Brian Billick. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. And as he is each week, he's brought to us by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got the SeatGeek app on your mobile device or that you're visiting SeatGeek.com. Make sure you, your family, your friends are always getting the best deal on tickets, and you do that with the SeatGeek app. Coach, let's start here with the Monday night game. A lot of people surprised not only for Jared Goff not to start, but not even active. I know I'm asking you to speculate, but why do you believe the number one overall pick is not out there for the Rams, given how inept their offense looked overall?
Well, you can only assume that Jeff Fisher doesn't think he's ready. I mean, let's go back to Jeff's history. When they drafted Steve McNair back in the 90s, he didn't actually start until his third season. They carried him along, felt like they needed to nurture him. They had two losing seasons leading up to that, and then he finally found his way into the starting lineup. If Jared Goff is not better than Case Keenum, they got a real problem, because obviously they were betting on playing great defense, running the ball, which they didn't last night. Todd Gurley only had 47 yards in 17 carries. And Case Keenum, you know, maybe you can play that formula Well, he was only 17 to 35, but he had two interceptions. If you're going to play that play great defense, run the ball formula, you got to run the ball and can't turn it over. So if they're not going to play a lot better than that, you got to put Jared Goff in just to get the experience.
Coach, is the Niners defense improved, or was this just a matter of the Rams being that bad?
Well, we're going to find out. We don't know, because the Rams offense was basically so inept. And so, yeah, we're going to have to see how it pans out. It's likely they're a little bit better than we all thought they were going to be, but their roster, when you look at it, you have some question marks, notwithstanding even the offensive side. Obviously, what Chip Kelly's doing, they have a lot of confidence. They obviously look pretty good. But we're going to find out, particularly this week, when they're going to play the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to find out more about L.A. and the fact that they play the Seattle Seahawks. In terms of San Francisco 49ers, the next step for them, obviously, is to, can they indeed go on the road? And it's a tall task, because they're going across the country to the Carolina Panthers. Now you're going to see a legitimate run offense. You're going to see maybe the best quarterback or the best athlete in the game in Cam Newton, and a very, very good Carolina defense. So it's going to be a test for the 49ers. They go across the country and put that kind of performance together against Carolina, then we're all going to say, nope, we were all kind of wrong. This team's pretty good.
For some people, looking at the AFC, the Steelers were a bit of a sleeper pick for some experts, Coach. Did you see that out of them in their Monday night contest against Washington? Could they contend in the AFC?
Well, I had Pittsburgh down as my Super Bowl team. I think they could be, if they can stay healthy. And that's the key. And we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, obviously Antonio Brown. That offensive line, which is healthy and looks spectacular. You know, yeah, Le'Veon Bell's not there, but D'Angelo Williams, let's remember last year he cranked off 127 yards in the opener as well. So D'Angelo Williams is a good, physical, you know, Pittsburgh Steeler type of runner that they got to love doing, you know, seeing what he's doing for them. And defensively, I think they're improved. They're healthy, although you see Ryan Shazier may be hurt. I go back to the injury situation. Of course, that's true of any team. But they were obviously spectacular. Washington's suspect on defense. But I still feel like Pittsburgh is the team to beat in the AFC. They too. Okay, now you got to follow up with it, because you've got a Cincinnati team coming into town that looked pretty good, and it's open.
When we look at the AFC, Coach, and you know this as well as anyone, you can't bet against Bill Belichick. There were those that said if the Patriots could go through their first four games without Tom Brady and be 2-2, that everybody would be happy. But based on how they performed against Arizona, is it out of the realm of possibilities that they might be 3-1 or even 4-0 by the time Brady comes back?
Yeah, and I was one of them on our show Game Day First for the NFL Network. We were talking about it, and I believe all of us picked Arizona to win, and to a man, we said, but we're nervous about it, because anytime you pick against the Patriots and Belichick, and particularly a Brady-less Belichick, you have a little bit of confidence. They come back and bite you every time. So, no, this bodes well for them. They don't look at it that way, and he's the master at one game at a time. They got Miami coming to town, so it's a divisional game, which is important for them. But I'd be surprised if anybody picks the Patriots to lose to Miami at home.
Speaking of Miami, they went on the road in really just a defensive slugfest there against Seattle. What did you see out of the Dolphins? And also, Coach, what did you see out of Seattle?
Well, and that I was impressed with that. I mean, that's a tough place to go. We talked last week about the value I put on the ability to go on the road and win, particularly in an opener, and particularly when you're talking about Miami going to Seattle. They'd been better off going to London. It would be an easier trip for them. That's a tough slot. The defense was impressive. I think it was an example of Russell Wilson this year. I think it's going to have to be finally a 500-plus throw quarterback. He's been under that his first few years, because they haven't had to do more than that. Play great defense, run the ball. Not that they're not going to continue to play great defense. They ran the ball okay, but Russell Wilson threw the ball 43 times. And I think we're going to see more of that this year, because they're going to need for him to throw the ball in order to get the win.
We know it was against the Cleveland Browns, but at the same time, Carson Wentz came out, a guy that just a few weeks ago, Coach, wasn't even expected to start because Sam Bradford was there, and he wound up with 278 yards, a couple of touchdowns. What did you think of the rookie's performance?
Yeah, very impressive. I mean, particularly for a rookie, you just want to see, are they overwhelmed? Do they look like they can function? And both he and Dak Prescott played very, very well. It was interesting to watch them. It was the same game plan. Both opened up with a lot of boots and outside the pocket, you know, to settle them down, make it an easy read, and then eventually evolved where they had to throw more from the pocket. Now, and it's good for their development. I don't know that you want a rookie throwing the ball 37 times a game like Wentz did, or 45 times like Dak Prescott. But from a development standpoint, because that puts them on a 600-throw season, which would be great for their development as a quarterback, but in terms of winning games and that profile, that would be a steep curve for these rookies. But I tell you what, they looked like they were up to it. Where you saw it was down on third down. Both struggled a little bit in third down in those critical areas. Although Carson Wentz in the red zone looked pretty good. So, yeah, you had to be pleased, even though, of course, Dallas lost. You had to be pleased, both teams, with the starts of their rookies, Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz.
Kansas City Chiefs pull off the biggest comeback for them in 56 years with their franchise. Is this a legit AFC West contender? I would assume so, based on what we've seen out of Andy Reid and Alex Smith managing the game.
Oh, absolutely. And it was who didn't play for them that's significant, that they all but at home could come back that way. That'll give them a lot of confidence. Now, obviously, Denver looks to be very solid. Huge win by the Oakland Raiders in New Orleans. They're going to be a factor as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think this is going to be a very tight division, but certainly that bodes well for Kansas City. If nothing else, give them the confidence to know, yeah, even without Jamal Charles and some of the other players we didn't have there, we're a pretty good football team.
You just brought up the Raiders, and it's been an interesting conversation in looking at Oakland, because there were those that have criticized their opening game, saying, well, wait, this was supposed to be a team that was extremely strong on defense, and here they gave up 34 points. But the counter to that, coach, is, well, just about everybody gives up at least 30 points facing Drew Brees.
Yeah, if you're going to dismiss anybody, everybody that gives up a lot of points and a lot of yards, Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints, at home in that dome, you can, you know, check off pretty much the entire league. You know, this guy's pretty good. I was very impressed with Oakland's ability to go on the road in one of the toughest places to play of all football, particularly in the opener, and to do it in the way they did, to come back the way they did, to go for it on two-point conversion twice and to get it. That bodes very well for that team, resiliency on that team. And, yeah, certainly some things, the big plays they're going to have to cut down on. I know that was disappointing for Ken Norton Jr. And his defense, but they're not the Lone Ranger in that regard when it comes to New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints defense continues. They're going to have a tough time this year because Drew Brees and Sean Payton know once again they got to score a minimum of 30 points a game or they got no chance.
Takes a lot of guts to do what Coach Jack Del Rio did at the end of the game. Coach, do you think you could have done the same thing if you were coaching?
Well, I've told in a lot of interviews that I'm doing talk about, you typically, particularly going on the road, you'll get with the staff and say, okay, guys, what's our mentality going to be at the end of the game? We've got to go for two. I mean, you put that down specifically at what do you guys think? It's different at home than it is possibly on the road. And go through the mindset of Jack Del Rio. Okay, I'm going to take a 50-50 chance of getting a two-point play. Or what are my odds if I go into overtime in New Orleans on the road that late in the game against that crowd and, oh, by the way, against a Hall of Famer like Drew Brees? I kind of like my odds with the two-point play rather than putting it in Drew Brees' hands.
He's the coach, Brian Billick. We say it every week. If you spend 10, 15 minutes with the coach, you're a smarter football fan. He's brought to us every week here on the NFL Files podcast by SeatGeek. Make sure you've downloaded the SeatGeek app or visited SeatGeek.com. It's a great way for you to make sure if you're getting tickets to a sporting event or a concert that you're getting the absolute best deal for you and your friends. That's the SeatGeek app. Coach, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Overtime.
For Overtime on the NFL Files, Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. First of all, Mike, congratulations on making the jump to NFL Network. We've got a six-pack of questions for you, rapid-fire style. Let's start here. After seeing what happened with Jack Del Rio, are we going to see more coaches go for two?
I don't think so. I think a lot of them are still conservative by nature, and Jack Del Rio is a more forward-thinking coach and has been for a while, so it doesn't shock me that he's the guy. And you know, there is an old adage, you play for the win on the road, you play for the tie at home, so maybe the situation, you know, bared out for that one and the momentum that they had at the time. I just don't see that being something that all of a sudden coaches are going to start doing, because the minute they fail, they're going to be called upon as bozos.
All right, question number two in the six-pack. For you, the biggest surprise of week one?
Probably the Detroit Lions. You know, I went up there and I heard all that positive talk about their offense and how they wouldn't miss Calvin Johnson, and everything I heard was that this offense actually, not that they'd be better off without Calvin Johnson, but for this offense, the way that they want to spread the ball around, nothing really runs through one person, so that they'd be able to kind of move that ball around. And you hear that and you go, yeah, but you're going to be without Calvin Johnson, so how is that possible? Well, you saw on display. Now, that's not the best defense they're going to face all year. Maybe one of the worst, as a matter of fact. So they're going to have to continue to prove that. But to me, that was a surprise they were able to pull that one off.
All right, Mike, question number three. Does Larry Fitzgerald actually have a secret fountain of youth? And if so, how do you and I get some of it?
He is amazing. And it's all about how he takes care of his body and his dedication to the game. And it is up there with some of the greats of all time. And I don't know if this is going to be his last season. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what kind of success the Cardinals have and whether he thinks this team could you know, have more success a year from now. I don't think that decision has been made yet. I think it's a possibility, but at the very least, I think he could absolutely continue to play at a high level for beyond this season.
It's overtime on the NFL Files. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network with me. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, question number four, true or false? The Patriots will go 4-0 with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'll go true. Yeah, just because they've got three more home games here, and then they catch Houston on a short week on the Thursday night game at home. So, I think it's a possibility, and sure, I'll ride with my somewhat similar namesake here.
There you go. All right, question number five for you. Based on what you saw in week one, who wins the NFC East?
I'm still going Redskins, just because I didn't expect anybody to run away with it. I still don't. I think that's a terrific team that they played. I'm not going to overreact to that one. I do think that there are holes on that roster. I think there's things that they need to patch up, but I'm not going to overreact to that one. There's going to be the opposite of overreaction Monday. Even though it's beyond Monday, but it's going to be the opposite of that, because I still believe that they're going to be the team that winds up coming out on top.
Mike Garofolo with me. Last question for you in our six-pack. If you had the choice, and obviously the athletic ability as well, Mike, if you had the choice, would you rather catch a touchdown from your favorite quarterback or sack your most hated rival quarterback?
Probably the TD, just because, you know, those guys, the skill position guys get all the glory, and then you get to do, well, I guess you can do a dance after the sack, but the end zone dances to me are always, there's more options down there amongst the fans and the goalposts and all that stuff. I'd even draw a penalty for using something as a prop.
All right, bonus answer to this one, Mike. Who would that quarterback be for you? Who's your favorite? Who would you want to be on the receiving end of?
My favorite of all time, I grew up watching Randall Cunningham, so that would have to be my guy.
There you go. Mike Garofolo with us on Overtime on the NFL Files. Make sure you watch him now that he's on NFL Network. Again, congratulations, and follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me.
You got it, Nate.
Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, appreciate his time. As I mentioned, just made the jump from Fox to NFL Network, and prior to that, he had been with USA Today. So definitely moving up the ladder when it comes to covering football. Appreciate your time joining me this week on this edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week right here.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.